back at the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And I'm reading verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, looking to endure. We, a few weeks ago, emphasize that if we are going to be a disciplined body, we must develop the mindset to endure. And endurance means that we remain, we sustain the load that of misery or adversity and persecution, and we sustain and we remain in faith and patience. And as we look to endure, I propose to us from these three verses, three areas to look. And the first one we talked about was that we needed to look around, because we are encompassed or compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. And everywhere that we find ourselves, we need to understand that we are not alone, for we are encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses. And that's why it's even important for us as we meet Sunday and Wednesday that we be here, because we are all witnesses. And then as we look at Luke, Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 4 through verse 40, we see all of these witnesses that surround the child of God. And the second look tonight that I want to focus on, if we're going to endure, not only do we need to look around and see that we have a great cloud of witnesses, but we need to look up. And in looking up, we are looking at Jesus. For he is the supreme object of our focus. I know the text says looking unto, but I just got to tell you, if you look unto him, you got to look up, because that's where he sits, on the right hand of God. So I want to give three reasons that we ought to look up. And this look is a staring, intense gazed, a focused, and fixed look. It's a turning of one's mind, a total concentration on Jesus. And the three reasons I want to give you: because of who he is, because of what he did, and because of where he is. First, when we look at our text, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is who he is. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Well, what does that mean for us? That means that he is the chief leader. He is the supreme example. He is the ultimate model. He is the one who originates our faith. He is the author of faith. When you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and you see by faith they did this, by faith they did this, I want you to understand that the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, when you understand that faith comes by hearing the word of God, you got to realize that Jesus is the word of God. John says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And verse number 14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, which means that every witness is an individual who lives by faith. Therefore, every witness is someone that Jesus started. I know that's a bit much. I'm getting excited about this, because when I think about that, the Bible says, remember we looked at the witnesses the last time and we talked about by faith, we understand that the world were framed by the word of God. Did not Paul say all things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made? In other words, Jesus, he is saying, is the preeminent, always existing one. You cannot have faith, without Jesus, because he is the author of it. They wanted to look at Abraham as the father of faith. But before Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, stop putting all your eggs in the basket of Abraham and look at me, because I am. I'm sorry. Let me get where I need. I'm sorry. This is Sunday evening service. I'm getting a little bit too excited. But when I thought about that, he says, I'm always. And then he says, not only am I the author of it, but I'm the finisher of it. Now, when you look at all of these witnesses, all of them, and I had to go through, some of them had a flaw. Did Noah get drunk? But by faith, see, when you look at the witnesses, you can focus on the flaws of the witnesses. These men, although Abraham, the father of faith, got beside himself and got outside of the will of God and had Ishmael. So you need somebody to finish the faith, because we in our imperfection will never measure up to what God expects. But Jesus says, the Hebrew writer says, I'm the author and the finisher. What we leave undone, he says, I'm going to finish it. But you got to look to him. You got to look up at him. That's why everything he completes for us. The Bible says that, talking about Sarah and Abraham, the Bible says these all died in faith, not receiving the promises, but having seen them afar off. Brothers and sisters, you and I are going to have to die in faith. We will never complete
everything that God has desired for us, we will always fall short. But thank be to God that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's a reason to look to him, is to look up, because he's the author and finisher of our faith. But that's who he is. But I want you to see what he did. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. What he did at Calvary is enough for us to look up to him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. In other words, he recognized that the crucifixion and what he was going through was going to be shameful. It was going to be embarrassing. It was going to be humiliating. But he said, I'm going to endure it for the joy that was set before him. And I had to ask myself, what joy would we get out of an execution by Roman soldiers? What joy would he get by being spit upon and mocked and nailed and hung up on a cross? What joy would he get? All in Matthew chapter 26. In the Garden of Gethsemane, what we see is him despising the shame. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If this cup can pass from me, that's him despising the shame. But he says, but thou wilt, and not mine. The joy that he received is knowing that he did the will of God. He completed. When on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. And let me tell you something. We've got to find joy in doing the Father's will. And that lets me know, if the cross is the emblem, then that lets me know that we're going to have to find joy in doing God's will, and it's not always going to be pretty. In Acts chapter 5, it concludes in verse number 41, that the apostles departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. What was the shame that they suffered? Well, in verse number 18, the high priest, in verse number 17, laid hands on them and put those apostles in prison. They brought them before the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said to them in verse number 28, did we not straitly command you that you should not speak in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And here, when they heard what they said about Jesus, in verse number 33, the Bible says they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay him. Not only did they do that, but in verse number 40, and to him they agreed, talking about Gamaliel, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Now, here they are. They've been in prison. They have been conspired against, not for murder. And then they have been beaten. And once they leave the presence of this malicious council, they depart rejoicing over the fact that they could suffer shame for his name. They took joy in doing the Father's will. And I believe if we're going to endure, we got to look up and see Jesus, who will complete what we fail to do. And because of what he did, he calls us to endure whatever situations that may come. They may talk about you, they may misaccuse you and accuse you falsely, but he says, because of Jesus, we can endure. And thirdly, we can endure because of where he is. It says, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because of where he is, we ought to look up. He's in a place of honor. He's a place of power. He's in a place to help us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 19 talks about, and what is, listen, it says, what is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Look here, he is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Because of where he is, you and I don't have to fear where we go. Because Jesus is above every power. He is above your supervisor. You're scared to go in there and talk. Jesus said, I'm above that. Where he sits shows us that we need not fear what man can do, because he sits higher than any power. I mean, these folks talking all this, what they're going to do, and we worried about who's going to be in the presidency and who's going to, and it, you know, I see these memes that just say, it's just, you know, like picking your poison. But no matter who is elected, Jesus is still on the throne. And because he is up there, he's higher than the Clintons. He's higher. And what's that other dude's name? Trump. There it is. Then he's up there to help us. Oh, the Hebrew writer says, for we have not a high priest. Seeing then we have a great high priest that passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Here he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. Thank God that he's up there. And if we look to him, we can find our help. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which come my help. Help comes from the Lord. Because of where he is. You know, he gives the picture of a race. And if anyone has ever run track, you know that running is some of the most agonizing exercises that you can do. I mean, I know there's a, and that's why I must have stayed away from the track. As I did not like running. I did not like the feeling of my heart pounding like it was going to come out of my chest. But when you look at those track athletes, they are disciplined to know that their posture has to be a certain way and their arms have to go a certain way. Now, but the track is most times horizontal. You going this way or around. But we need to understand that the track we own is a vertical track. And just like those track athletes have to have their posture where they focus on the finish line, you can't run with your head held back and you can't run wobbling. You have to have a posture. And I'm suggesting to us, if we plan to endure in this life, you got to have a track posture, but you got to know the track you own runs vertical. And Jesus is the finish line. And we're still in the race until we get to Jesus. So as long as I'm in this body, I got to keep running and have my eyes fixed on the vertical where he is. When Stephen died at the hands of those Jewish men and Saul was consenting, one of the last things that Stephen did, he looked up. He said, behold, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand. They're casting stones at him rather than cover his head. He looks up. Tell me, what you got going on that you can't look up? I know this is Mother's Day, and some, I want to be sensitive, you lost Mama and Big Mama this, and this is the first time you dealing with that. But I want you to tell you, Look up. This week, some of y'all gonna take the star, and I know you anxious. But let me tell you something. When you get to number 37, and you don't know which one to mark, I want you to just look up for a minute. Ask the good Lord to guide you. Look up. Y'all getting ready for these finals? You got to look up. Amen. If you keep your eyes focused up there, he is assured that he'll bless you. He said, I'll give you strength that you can endure. I'll be your second wind when it gets heavy. I will be there to guide you through it. All we got to do is look up. You're here tonight. Hope something has been encouraging and helpful to you as we all travel this road from earth to glory. as we all stay in the race. We got to cheer one another on in the race. But we also got to have our eyes focused upward to where he is. You're a child, not a child of God. You don't have the help system you need. You don't have the witnesses. You don't have the great crowd that's cheering you on. And then you got to have someone who will start and finish your faith. And the only person I know who can do that is Jesus. You need to be a child of God. You need to have enough faith to come down these aisles and repent of sin, to confess Christ, to be buried in water for the remission of your sins. If you're here, you're a child of God, and in your running, you start looking elsewhere. Have a change of mind. That's repentance, and focus back on the goal. Let us all leave here looking up as we stand, as we sing the song of invitation.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my side. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.